Hey everyone, welcome to Wonderful World. Thank you so much for being a part with me and coming back. It has been a while. It's been a couple months since we have been together on the podcast, and it has been a crazy couple months. I think we all know that, and I don't know that it's going to get better anytime real soon, but that's okay because our hope is not in circumstances. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and that's what makes it a wonderful world. With all that being said, we know that there is a lot of division. There is a lot of strife and problems, and I know that's the opposite of what we need to be living in, but we know we live in a fallen world, and Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so I'm glad he's overcome it, and I'm glad I'm not bound by it. And you aren't either, especially as a follower of Christ. You know that there is hope beyond this. So I'm going to speak bluntly to you today about several issues and deal with some things that are in our current news and current world. And sometimes pastors like myself are hesitant to share these things and to share their opinions because they're not exactly sure how they're going to be accepted, but you know, we have to live past that, and I want to just be honest with you instead of talking around it. I think sometimes by talking around it, being vague, people go ahead and construe what they think you believe or what they think your opinion is, and then they just put you on their side or against them, however they want to. And so I think it'd be much easier if I was just honest and direct with you. And because if there's one thing that's going to make our world wonderful, it's that we can be honest. Now, some people are afraid of sharing their opinion, pastors included, because the fear is you will be canceled, to use a word that is in our culture right now. You will be canceled if you share your opinion, and you will be excluded from other people's list. Well, I just did rather be honest and share some things with you and what my opinion is on these things. I know a pastor that talked with just discouraged, wanted to resign because of what church members were saying on social media. And you're like, well, he wasn't saying it. Why would he be discouraged by that? Because you're trying to nurture and equip people, and then you see them arguing and bickering and being so childlike on social media. Think, well, I'm not doing any good. I'm not helping out in any way. And so it does get discouraging, especially when you see one member going after another. That's really tough for a lot of pastors. Spoke with a business owner who was afraid of sharing his political leanings with customers because he knew if he did, he would probably lose 80 to 90% of his customer base. And that shouldn't be that way. That shouldn't be that way on either side. You know, if I hire a plumber, I don't need to hire a I'm going to go ahead and get right into the politics. I don't need to hire a Democrat plumber or a Republican plumber. I don't need a D in front at the end of my name or an R to be a good plumber. You can be any leaning and be a good plumber. So, but we're afraid of that because of the rhetoric and the backlash that comes from both sides on those things. I have not been supportive really of either party in the last many years. I've not been a strong supporter of any of the presidential candidates for the last several years. It's been a while since the person I voted for was elected, and that's because oftentimes you want to call it a wasted vote or whatever you want to call it, but I will do a write-in vote or a third-party vote just because I don't see the moral standing in a lot of different candidates. And so, once again, that's my opinion. So if you want to cut off the podcast now, sure, go ahead. But I think we have got to realize that we have put everybody on a side. There's a passage in where Joshua is about to take the children of Israel into battle. And the angel of the Lord appears to him. He says, and so Joshua stands with us and says, are you for us or for our adversary? And obviously the angel of the Lord is going to be on their side, right? Actually, the angel says, no, it's not about that. The question is not really about whether I'm on your side or their side. The question is, whose side are you on? And at the end of Joshua's life, what does he say? You know, choose you today who you're going to serve. Whose side are you going to be on? He says, for me and my house will serve the Lord. So he has to choose a side, not say who's on, is the Lord on my side? And I think that's what I see in the difficulty I see in the political climate. So since the election, and I haven't done a, haven't shared a podcast since the election, but since the election, I have been grieved greatly in my spirit by what I see. I keep seeing people trying to attach the name of Jesus to their cause and expect God to be okay with it. We saw that this past year. This past summer, there were people that were saying when Jesus would do things this way, and many of us weren't okay with that. And then, of course, a couple weeks ago, we have people in Washington, D.C. carrying flags, Jesus saves, and then storming into the Capitol. He's not okay with it. And I'm not okay with it either. Violence is wrong by the left. Violence is wrong by the right. Both sides want to call each other Nazis. Have you noticed that? When we don't agree with somebody, we automatically play the Nazi card. Both sides want to do that. And then they want to say it wasn't them conducting the violence. Both sides have done it. Oh, it was Antifa. I think Antifa is getting blamed for a lot of stuff that Antifa didn't participate in. Not saying they're good guys, but it's just because we want to pass the blame. But both sides call each other Nazis. Both sides say it wasn't them conducting the violence, that it was these outside people. I remember reading or watching videos and hearing things back this past summer. Oh, there are police that are intentionally starting this. You know, they're intentionally starting fires. They're intentionally starting these things to blame the rioters. And so many laughed at them for saying that. And then now, oh, the police are letting them into the Capitol, and they planted all of this on them. And I can't get what story's true. Did the police do it? Did Antifa do it? Or is this just one big concert? So both sides have a problem. Everyone has a conspiracy theory that demonizes the other side. And what they're doing is they're trying to release their side from any blame. They're just releasing their side from any blame. Why am I so wrapped up with this and concerned about it? Because as a follower of Jesus Christ, truth matters. Truth matters more than anything else, and our words matter. And loosely using words like traitor, or especially the word that bothers me the most, Judas, for people who disagree with us, come on. People who I respect using terms like that. Franklin Graham called the 10 people that have voted for the impeachment of President Trump Judas. He asked, well, how many pieces of silver did Nancy Pelosi offer them? I'm like, really? Are we really going to go to the most pivotal moment of history where Judas betrays Jesus so he could be crucified, and you're going to compare that? Come on. What are we doing? Our words matter. We can't keep going down this road and expect any repentance or revival to happen, because if you can't take responsibility and you're always a conspiracy theorist, then there's no credibility. Think about that for just a second. So have you noticed there's constantly something else going to come out? But there's these conspiracy theorists, and we're going to believe all these false truths. We're going to say, oh, just wait, this is going to happen. I was listening to N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is a theologian, a British theologian. And N.T. Wright, just a brilliant man. But I think he's also brilliant because he's British. And here's what I mean by that. Have you ever noticed when a British person says something, they just sound smarter? I don't know what it is. A British person could say something, the same thing I say. We could actually say the exact same thing, and you would be like, yeah, that guy's much smarter, the British guy. But N.T. Wright was talking about the Western religion, and he obviously, European in American civilization, the culture, in our Western thought. But he was talking about Western religions, and he talked about how it reminds him of the Gnostics in Gnosticism. In the word Gnostic, I won't get all into that, but the word, it comes from the word knowledge, gnosis, and the premium was always on knowledge. Who had the most knowledge? And the problem with the Gnostics is the Gnostics always thought they knew something that was hidden from everybody else. They knew something that nobody else knew. And so they would always say, well, you just don't understand that. We know stuff that you don't know. And that gives rise to conspiracy theories. The rise of conspiracy theories in the church is traced to the Gnostics. Think of the Da Vinci Code. Go back and read that and study that up. The Gnostic, we have more knowledge than you do, and we know stuff that you don't know. And that reminded me so much of where we are. I mean, everybody on either side's got a conspiracy theory, and I'm especially bothered by those who profess the name of Jesus Christ, the church, and when I say the church I'm associated with, I'm not just talking about the specific local church, I'm talking about the evangelical church that is bought into so many conspiracy theories. I mean, think about it for just a second, all the conspiracy theories, but the idea that, oh, you just wait, in 3 days everything's going to change, and then 3 days comes and nothing changes. Oh, it's going to change here. We know some stuff. Oh, you just wait till you see what's coming. And there's this constant move of, we know something you don't know. That's Gnosticism. That's Gnosticism. And so this idea that when it creeps into the church, it becomes a real present danger. And that's what's bothering me more than anything, is that we have allowed this mindset to creep within the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's destroyed the credibility of the church completely. Why do I say that? I want you to think about this. So we have conspiracy theories about the election. We have conspiracy theories about, there was one conspiracy theory back in 2016 that Hillary Clinton and all her people were holding kids hostage in a pizza place, and some guy invaded it. You have conspiracy theories, you know, just that abound, but you have conspiracy theories about vaccines, and I'm not getting into the anti-vax thing. It's not about, I'm just talking about the constant conspiracies of things that are being spread. And here's my problem. We have all these conspiracy theories, and many of them proven untrue, no source, no credibility to these things. And people that have professed Jesus Christ are pumping these things out through social media. They're pumping these things out to their neighbors. And the world is listening to the church and hearing these things and going, well, that's not true. That's been proven not credible. But we're the same people that want to say 2,000 years ago, God became a man, born in a virgin's from a virgin's womb. And that man lived 33 and a half years, never did anything wrong, and died on a cross as a criminal. But that death was not just a death of a criminal, because he wasn't a criminal. That death, he took all the sins of the world on himself. And then 3 days later, after he died, he rose out of a grave. He came back to life, and he is still living in heaven right now. Everything I just said to you about Jesus is absolute truth. However, when I am also promoting conspiracy theories right and left that are proven untrue, why should people believe what I say about Jesus when everything else I said is false? That's the problem. That's the problem. And I think that's where we're losing credibility within the Church of Jesus Christ. I watched an interview on 2020 with a guy named Chris Krebs. If you don't know who Chris Krebs is, he's the former head of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Say that fast five times. He was the head of that. He was appointed, I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it was 2017 that he was appointed. And his was to make sure there was no outside interference in the election, that there was cyber fraud or infrastructure fraud that could take place. And he was the one that said this was the most secure election in American history and fired for that statement, fired by President Trump. And I watched an interview with him. And having been a pastor and having talked to people and counseled with people, I listen to what people say, but I listen to how they say it. I watch their face when they say it. Because I've learned credibility comes a lot further, not just in what people say, but all those dynamics together. And what I saw in that interview was a truly broken guy. An individual who was broken down and just frustrated, who had worked hard, and it seemed like it was nothing. Now his life was being threatened. His family's life was being threatened. He was being called names. His credibility was being torn down. And my heart just sunk. Because here was a guy who, in my opinion, this is my opinion, you can have your opinion, in my opinion, was telling the truth. But his truth didn't matter anymore because his truth didn't fit the agenda of others. In 2016, I was I wasn't hesitant to vote for Trump. I wasn't going to vote for President Trump. And I didn't vote for President Trump. But people tried to talk me into voting for President Trump, saying you need to vote for President Trump because of Mike Pence. Mike Pence is a good, godly, Christian man. You need to vote for him because we just need a man like him. And I believe that Mike Pence is a good man. I don't believe he's a perfect man. I don't vote for somebody because they're perfect or but I do think character matters, and he is a man of character. And wasn't it interesting, all the people that said, you need to vote for the president because of Mike Pence, 2 weeks ago, there were people that literally wanted to hang Mike Pence. They were calling him traitor, and yes, Judas. I just don't get it. And the divisiveness and the bitterness, and I'm saying all this about coming from people within the church, because I know a lot of you that listen to me are followers of Jesus Christ. Some of you have questions. Some of you are listening and hearing and trying to find out, and I'm telling you that what you're seeing, if you're one of those people that are on the fence, what you're seeing from people that commit violence, what you're seeing from people that use this kind of rhetoric, that is not Christ. Because John said in his book, 1 John, you can't hate your brother and say you love Christ. Doesn't work. It's either one or the other. You either love Christ and are going to love your brother, or you hate your brother and you don't have the love of Christ in you. And so as I see these times, like, what is the cause? And I don't want this to just be a tear down and to be discouraging in this. I'm trying to be as honest as possible. But I think the larger part is, how do we get back to a wonderful world? And I believe one of the great fears is our fear of being uncomfortable and the fear of my normal being messed up. I like my normal. I like my security. I like things the way they are, and I don't want that to be messed up. So I'm really uncomfortable with this person, or I'm really uncomfortable with this leader. I'm really uncomfortable with how this may affect my taxes. I'm really uncomfortable with how this may affect moral issues, and I get that. But that should not be the determination. Jesus and his disciples did not live in a comfortable environment. They did not live in a political expedient environment for as far as the gospel is concerned, and yet they turned the world upside down. So I want to make this statement. If you don't get anything else I say in this podcast, I want you to get this. Being in charge and having authority are not the same thing. And that's the truth that we need to hear, that being in charge and having authority are not the same thing, because my wonderful world is not based on who's in charge, quote unquote. Not who the president is, not who the vice president is, not who the king is, not who the prime minister is, not who my senators are. No, it's not based on that. It's based on who has authority in my life. And being in charge and having authority are not the same thing. Christ is our authority, and he has given us authority, Matthew 28. So that brings me to a question. Why would we desire political power when we're not exercising spiritual power? Political power has its limits. Spiritual power in Christ is unlimited. And so I want to have the authority of Christ, not the authority of man. We want a lot of our religious freedom. We talk about that a lot. What religious freedoms were given to the apostles? You see, we're basing everything on our political situation and on our spiritual situation, and that is why we don't have revival, because we think revival comes when we are politically free to do what we want. And the truth is, I don't need political freedom to be free. I'm free because of what Christ has done in my life. I was listening at a conference. A chief rabbi, he was speaking to evangelicals. A Jewish rabbi was speaking to evangelicals at a conference, and it was a question and answer. It was a very open discussion. It was more a kind of a theological discussion. And in the question and answer, one of the evangelicals in the audience said, "So what is the Jewish situation in China? How many Jews are in China, and how is the message of Judaism in China?" And the rabbi thought a second. He said, "There's probably like only 8 Jews in China." No, I don't know how many there are, but he said, "There's probably only like 8 Jews in China." And then he gave a couple funny things. He said, "That means there's probably 9 synagogues." So that means they're like Baptists, you know. I can say that having been one. And then he said, "And they're probably, the rumor's probably spread that they're trying to control the country." So if you know anything about the way Jews are viewed by many people, he was using a couple humorous things. But then he said this. He said, "You know, there's only a handful of Jews in China, but there's millions of Christians." And he said, "I would like to compliment you, evangelicals. You have done what the Jews were supposed to do. You have spread the message of the covenant God." Now, I want you to get that. I want you to get that real clearly. If there is one place that it is not politically expedient to be a Christian, it is China. And yet he is saying to them, the Christians in China are turning that country upside down. They are not doing it because they have political power. They're doing it because they have spiritual power. They're not doing it because they have religious freedom. They're doing it because they have freedom in Christ. And until we get our eyes off of politics, until we get our eyes off of who's elected and who is in the office and who is my senator and who is my president, we're not going to have any kind of move of God. But I believe that we have the opportunity to live in a wonderful world. And I believe it is a wonderful world. It's just our perspective. You see, Christ came to redeem this. He came to redeem us and set us free in this world. He said, "In this world, you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome it." That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But take my yoke upon you, because it is easy. Learn from me. He's not waiting. We're constantly looking for a resurrection outside from here, a release from here. And God says, "No, I put you here for a reason and a purpose. I got a plan for you right where you are, because it's a wonderful world where you live. It's all about your perspective." So I'm going to help you as I close. I'm going to help you realize you live in a wonderful world. Here's the advice I'm going to give you. First of all, get off of social media and television news for 2 weeks. If you really want to be free, if you're looking at all this politics and you're troubled and you're fretting and you're worried and you're just in complete despair and you think there's no hope, then I want you to get off of social media and television news for the next 2 weeks. Now, as I say that, some of you just panicked. Because that would be like me telling a crack addict to not use crack for 2 weeks. Because it's become an addiction. And you're like, I don't know if I can handle it. The withdrawals of not having a social media. The withdrawals of not being able to see everybody else's opinion and share my opinion. I've been doing something for the past, it's probably more than a month now. I've been taking screenshots. Screenshots of discussions that I have seen on social media. Of people that I know that are Christians. And some of the comments that people are making to other people, calling them stupid, calling them idiots, making fun of people, blasting people, saying horrible things that they would never say in person, but they just saying all kinds of rudeness. Social media has given us this platform to share all kinds of divisive things. Now, by the way, I believe social media is like a brick. I believe social media in itself is amoral. A brick you can build a hospital with, or a brick you can throw through a window. And by the way, everybody's wanting to say social media is terrible and we need to just, you know, and of course, we're all about the free speech and everything right now. But 94% of churches are using Facebook to broadcast their services. So it's a good thing we have that, or especially during this pandemic time. So I'm not here to condone for social media, but also not here to tear it down. What I'm telling you is, some of you, it's becoming addicting, and you can't see the wonderful world that is right in front of you. You may not even be able to see the wonderful world of your family, the wonderful world of your children, the wonderful world of your marriage, the wonderful world of your church, the wonderful world of your friends and neighbors, because you're staring at a screen and listening to news and just living in a constant state of discouragement. So instead of doing that, read the Bible. Read a book. Open up the Word of God. Hey, just what if you spend as much time getting in the Word and let the Holy Spirit speak to you as you do all those people that you don't even know and that you don't even care about speak to you? What He has to say to you is much more valuable. Find a good book, not a political book. A good book. And invest in it. Better yet, interact with your neighbor. Interact with your neighbor. Go next door, knock on the door. Ask how they are. Ask if you can help them. If you see them working in the yard, go pitch in. What can you do to be loving and helpful? I would say the Bible tells us to love our neighbor, but some of us can't love our neighbor and interact with our neighbor because we don't even know our neighbor. And God's put you in a wonderful world right next door to that neighbor for a reason. For a reason. So go interact with them. Go love them. I did this last Saturday, the next thing I'm going to tell you. Get in your car, turn off your radio, turn off any devices, and just drive around your neighborhood. Drive around your town. My wife and I do this on a regular basis. We drive into areas we've never been to before. I think we've exhausted most of them in our area. We drive, good grief, we've driven far away before, just driving into places. Turn off everything and realize how free you are to do so. And realize how different people live and where people live and what's going on in, quote unquote, their world. And just enjoy watching people. I remember the other day I was just driving and I saw this family. They were at a park. I drove by and I just slowed down and watched. And I guess the dad probably, judging by the way the dad was acting, or he'd taken it from his son, they had a remote control cars, and man, he was having a time driving that one of those big remote control cars. They were laughing and driving them as fast as they could. It's a much better world than the one we're stuck in. Because what you're going to find is you live in an abundance of freedom. You live in an abundance of freedom. You're blessed beyond measure. Isn't that what you want to live in? Don't you want to realize what you have? That it is good? That you are blessed? I'm thankful for the freedom we have. I'm thankful for the freedom we have to speak up. And what if it all goes away tomorrow, you're saying? Then my authority has not changed. My authority is still Christ. That's not going to change ever, ever. I'm going to spend eternity with him. But I'm going to spend right now with him, and I'm going to spend right now with you. And I want to love you, and I want you to love me, and I want us to have this beauty of what God does, no matter what's going on politically around us or in any other avenue. So I know I've railed on some things today, and I know I've shared my opinion. I'd love to hear your opinion. I really would. And you don't have to agree with my opinion, but I'd love to share my opinion with you, and I'd love you to share yours. And so you can interact with me on, yes, social media, or any other avenue that you can find. I would love to interact with you. Let's just realize the wonderful world God's given us and live in it. Live in it well. And I believe God will change some things, and I believe he'll use you to change some things. Who knows? It may be the catalyst to changing everything in your life. So thanks for just spending some time listening to me talk, listening to this podcast. I look forward to getting back on these on a regular basis. And if you have any subjects you'd like to discuss, share that as well. But God bless you, and I hope you have a great day, and I hope you realize we live in a wonderful world.